Hi everyone, I'm Christine, and okay, let me start over. I forgot what I was going to say.
Sure. If you forget what you're going to say during introducing yourself, then I wonder what's going to happen, but yeah.
Like at the border agents when they ask you my name and I'm like,
Hello everyone, and welcome to E-commerce Unscripted, the podcast where we help you with e-commerce, WooCommerce, and today, M-commerce. My name is Sam Greenspan. I'm a marketer here at GoDaddy. I am joined today by two wonderful panelists coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, Christine Fook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine, and I've been with SkyBridge, now GoDaddy, for about 7 months. And before that, I've been working in e-commerce on and off for a few years.
And our other co-host today, coming to you from snowy Montreal, Quebec, Canada, Ryan Frizzell. Ryan, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm a technical account manager here at GoDaddy. And like Christine, I've been working in e-commerce for, I think, going on about 8 years now. Started off doing development stuff, and now I help merchants with their shops.
Fantastic. And we today are talking about mobile shopping. This is a big topic. Mobile shopping is projected to account for 54% of e-commerce sales this year. That means the majority of e-commerce shopping is now going to come through mobile. It's become that ubiquitous. So we're going to talk about why mobile shopping is so important to WooCommerce stores. We'll talk about how to capitalize on it for your store or for your clients. We're also going to discuss some strategies for you to optimize your WooCommerce site for mobile shopping. And we'll address some of the things that stop people from making purchases on mobile, which can be very different than what stops them from making purchases on their desktop. But first, we're going to dive in with a few warm-up questions here and share a few stats. Christine, what's the last thing you bought on your phone?
The last thing I bought on my phone was protein powder and bars.
So cool. And any reason, why did you buy those on your phone and not sitting at your computer?
So it was a brand that I've been researching for a while already on my computer. And I ended up getting a coupon via email, and I was on my phone at that time. And it was more like the coupon is expiring and I got to get it. So I just got it on my phone.
So it sounds like convenience, but also a little bit of urgency in there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And Ryan, what's the last purchase you made on your phone?
The last thing I purchased on my phone was some new keycaps for my keyboard.
And why on your phone and not your desktop?
So I do basically all of my shopping on my phone now. So since I work on my computer, I don't want to be at my computer on my free hours. I prefer to do all of my shopping and all of my other web browsing on my phone.
Interesting. You're one of the people we're going to talk about today who's just a full-on mobile shopper. All right, next question. Ryan, well, you've sort of answered this already. In fact, you've definitively answered this already, but I'll kick it to you anyway. Which do you prefer, shopping on your phone or on your computer? Now, you say you do shop on your phone, but do you prefer it? Let's play the lawyer language game here.
Yeah, it is a good question because it can be frustrating. Performance speeds are more noticeable on the phone. Like if there's an issue with a website loading slowly, it's sort of more frustrating on a phone. Obviously, the layout, you can't see as many products at once and stuff, so it's not as great for browsing. So really, for me, it is just about that desire to be away from a computer in my free time. Because aside from that, like in terms of the shopping experience, I'm not sure that I necessarily prefer it, aside from the fact that it's sort of more easy to do from the couch or the lounger or whatever while I'm watching TV than it is on a laptop or computer.
And Christine, what about you? Do you prefer shopping on your phone or on your computer?
I prefer shopping on my computer for sure. Part of it is intentional because I don't want to make it easier for me to buy things because I want to reduce the amount of things I buy. So I don't set up like Apple Pay or any of that. And also I like to do a lot of research before I buy something. So I find that it's easier to do that type of stuff on my computer than on my phone.
Yeah, I do as well. And we're in the majority group because one study found only 19% of people say they find mobile shopping to be more convenient than desktop shopping. So mobile shopping is more prevalent. As we said earlier, it's going to account for the majority of e-commerce purchases, but people are not finding it close to as convenient as it is to shop on a computer. And we'll talk today about ways you can help bridge that gap to make at least the e-commerce sites that you own or you work on for clients, a little bit more of a mobile experience that people want to shop on. Next question, do you research on mobile, but then buy on your desktop?
Sometimes. I do tend to research on mobile, then buy on desktop. Sometimes I research on desktop, then buy on mobile. So it really depends. I go back and forth a lot.
Yeah, and Ryan, what about you? Do you find yourself researching on mobile, clicking through emails, but then ultimately, if you're going to buy, ever buying on your desktop?
Yeah, I think that does happen for sure. There's something about maybe placing a big purchase on a desktop. Maybe something about it feels like it's more secure. You're maybe more likely to have the transaction to go through properly, or you feel more trustworthy. So sometimes I do think I will have spend time researching on my phone because I can take it anywhere. But then when it comes time to pull the trigger, as they say, I sit down at the big computer and do it.
I find that too. I find that in the mornings, sometimes when I'm just lying in bed, I'll start scrolling through my emails and I'll click on a marketing email and I'll go down the full like process of it, but then I won't buy it. But then maybe if I remember, then I'll buy it when I get back. If it's something I want to buy, I'll do when I get back to my computer. I'm definitely a cross-platform shopper. And most people are. Phones account for 71% of traffic to e-commerce sites, but only 56% of orders, according to this study. Desktop accounts for 27% of traffic, but 42% of orders. So the numbers are sort of flipped. Phones are doing the majority of the traffic, but desktop is getting a very high percentage of orders relative to the amount of traffic it's getting. Desktop also has a higher conversion rate than mobile, and cart abandonment is much higher on mobile than it is on desktop. If desktop cart abandonment rate usually pegged right around 70%, on mobile, it's around 80%. And final question, why do you hesitate to buy something on your phone?
I don't usually hesitate to buy on the phone, but it would be a security if there was something about the site that was not familiar or I felt something insecure about the checkout. I might halt my phone purchase and consider moving over to the desktop just to check it out. I guess the other reason that could happen on the phone but not a desktop is sort of what I was talking about earlier, like problems with maybe the site isn't loading properly or something about the mobile experience isn't working, and that's just causing basically an interruption in the checkout flow.
For me, I think one of the big things is I think I can't see all the details because I'm just always wondering, are there more details on their desktop site that I'm missing? It's also harder to compare products. And also usually I'm not in the buying mood when I'm on my phone. I just don't like to buy things when I'm on my phone.
No, I think that makes sense. For me too, the phone is very like passive behavior. It's like I'm just scrolling and reading. It's not, and like when I'm at a computer, it's much more active behavior. It's doing things. So my hesitation for buying on the phone, I think the phone is a case where I'd really like to use simple payment gateways. There's something about having to type all my details on the phone keyboard that feels much more of a process to me. Type in my credit card on the phone keyboard, much more of a process than doing that on a desktop with a full keyboard. So I think I'm much more inclined to buy something on mobile if I can just click PayPal checkout button or another gateway that I use, which Christine doesn't use. For other people, the studies have shown the top five reasons why people hesitate to buy on their phones are: number one, security concerns. So we've discussed that. Number two, can't see the product details. Number three, it's too difficult to browse on multiple screens or compare products. Number four, navigation is difficult. And number five, too difficult to input details. So I think we hit all of those. And over in the next section of this podcast, we're going to discuss strategies for WooCommerce stores to combat some of those hesitations to make it easier for people to shop on the mobile version of your site as well as the desktop version. We'll be right back after this to talk strategy.
Building an amazing e-commerce site doesn't have to be complicated. Delight your clients with hosting from GoDaddy and take advantage of our streamlined setup, built-in SSL certificate, daily backups, and nearly $6,000 worth of included extensions to get online and selling fast, all for under $20 per month. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
We are back to talk about strategies for WooCommerce stores when it comes to mobile shopping. My name is Sam. I'm joined by Christine and Ryan. And we're going to get into some basic strategies, and then we'll cover some more intermediate and advanced ones. So the basic thing we're going to talk about here is when you're talking about mobile shopping, you've got to make sure your website is mobile friendly, which would seem like something that everyone kind of understands at this point, but it's still not universal. So that means things like having a responsive theme, a theme that looks good on both desktop and mobile. It means having your SSL certificate so that your site is secure and that people shopping can see that. Again, security concerns a big deal. And it also means look out for things that can really affect the mobile experience in a more negative way than they affect the desktop experience. Things like pop-ups, really small buttons, really pixelated or low-quality images, a long checkout process, things like that, which are irritations on a desktop version of a site, but can be complete deal breakers on a mobile version. So, Ryan, do you have any other thoughts on basic design and site layout things that people can do in order to make their sites more friendly to mobile shoppers?
Yeah, I guess what I would say is when you're testing your site as a user, consider testing it as a mobile user first. This is an idea that we started introducing into web development like 8 years ago, basically, when I first started getting into it. It's that mobile first principle, being like the mobile is going to be the primary interaction. So consider testing that first. It's counterintuitive. Most people design and work on their websites from the desktop first and then down. But consider the mobile experience as the important one. And then, you know, if there's problems with the desktop one, you can adjust those and test those later. But yeah, all the things you said, clear call to actions, simple designs, those are the kinds of things that are going to perform better with on a mobile device. So especially think about your product grid layouts, double check that they're not too cluttered. Like if you have four products side by side on your phone, they're all going to be really small and difficult to click.
Absolutely. Christine, any thoughts on little design things or things to keep in mind to make sure that a shop is mobile friendly?
To what Ryan was saying, testing the theme on mobile is really important. And to add to that, testing it on different browsers. So make sure you test on, you know, Safari and Chrome, because sometimes things could act differently in Chrome than it does in Safari. And like to the product grid, that's where some plugins could be helpful, like a product slider. So, you know, customers could slide through the products instead of having all the products like crunched up against each other.
Absolutely. Anything you can do, keeping in mind people are looking at this on a high resolution but small screen, is always going to help the shopping experience. Next thing I want to talk about as we move into some more intermediate topics is security concerns. As we said earlier, that is the number one cause for people to hesitate making a purchase on their phone. And security concerns obviously extend beyond just having an SSL certificate. Let's say the SSL certificate is more or less just table stakes for running an e-commerce site. And that provides one level of security, but we've got to go further than that. So, Christine, I know we talked a little bit about this. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your thoughts on how to secure your site, especially as you're adding payment gateways to it, in order to help allay people's concerns about the security when they're buying on their phones.
On the back end, like a lot of our payment gateways are built with things like 3D Secure or Accept.js that improves the security when payments are sent. But there's a lot the merchant could do also on their end, so they could contact their like merchant processor to enable things like transaction filters, like IP address filters, address verification, shipping and billing mismatch, velocity filters, and things like that. And on the WooCommerce end, merchants could install things like CAPTCHA plugins and Honeypot plugins to secure all the backend stuff. And on the front end, it would help for customers to see trust icons so they could have a sense of security that their payments will be secure, because they usually can't see all of the backend security stuff that's happening.
That's great. And Ryan, what are your thoughts on other ways you can help reduce people's security concerns about shopping on the mobile version of a website?
I think that basically consider when you're choosing your gateway options, and you can offer multiple. You don't have to just stick with one. Consider offering some options that are familiar to people. So we have talked to PayPal, Amazon Pay, Apple Pay, or even in terms of the gateways themselves, like there are some that are, say, a little more popular. Maybe Stripe is a well-known one or something like that. So as a consumer, when you see a checkout option that you're familiar with, you're feeling more trustworthy that your payment is being handled securely.
And something else for me that I find helps with my security concerns, and maybe this is window dressing that I'm putting too much stake in, but seeing things like a site that lists a physical address on it, but also having things like, you know, a well-designed site to me helps reduce security concerns, because it just shows a level of care and attention. Things like if you have a personal story and you share your company's story and show your people on your website, I think that serves dual purposes in that you know, people want to support small businesses. They like to see the story behind the brands they're supporting. That's becoming increasingly popular. And it also helps me put a face behind who's doing this. And that adds a significant level of trust as opposed to just sort of like a black box of a site where you don't know where your money's going or who it's going to. So while those things are far less sophisticated than what's really happening on the back end, those are also just little secure indicators that will send signals to at least me and probably a number of other people that, okay, I'm dealing with a site here that I can put a little more trust in. Another one of the big issues was people having trouble seeing product details or browsing on multiple screens comparing products on mobile. This is tough. We're dealing with a lot less screen real estate here, especially when people are looking at things in portrait, which is how most of us hold our phones. What can we do? What can we do about this? Let's talk about some extensions that we could possibly use here.
Specifically for mobile, there is the additional variation images. So you're making sure you're getting lots of product images and making those easily visible to your customers. There's Tab Manager to offer more details in the tabs area of the product page. That's a good option, especially in cases where you're selling a product with specific details that don't necessarily fall under the description, like computer specs or something like that. And the other thing I would say is just make sure when you're testing your product pages from your mobile device that it's easy to navigate the various product images. And if not, you may either want to be consulting with a developer or you might want to consider switching your theme to find one that works well with making sure that your product images and details are properly displayed on mobile screens.
Christine, I know you've done a lot of research into this. And so do you want to share some of the things you found about more ways that you can help bridge that gap between desktop and mobile and make it easier to compare products and find what you're looking for?
A lot of it depends on the design and development of your theme. So make sure you design it and develop it to be responsive. But beyond that, there's plugins that you could use to make your shop more responsive. And I think one of those would be the nested category layout. It displays your products in categories on your product page. So people could just see what categories there are quickly by scrolling through. There's also other plugins like WooCommerce product filters, which works great on mobile, at least on the default themes. and also plugins that could help your theme be more responsive. Like one is the vertical and accordion product detail tabs. And another one is product sliders, which we talked about a little bit about how that plugin could transform your product grid into like a slide. So customers could look at the products in a slide instead of a grid.
It's all really good advice. Basically, you've got to find things that work well with your theme. But beyond working with your theme, just what works for your product and really helps people get as good of a view as they can on that small screen. And I like the idea of the more that you let people on mobile filter, I feel like scrolling through multiple screens is a lot more cumbersome on mobile than it is on desktop, just because, you know, there's fewer products per row and clicking through on mobile always seems to take a little longer than it does on desktop. So to have the ability to do the nested categories or the filters seems like it would be really helpful for people navigating as well. One of the other problems that people have that prevents them from shopping on mobile is difficulty inputting their details. So let's talk about a couple of solutions for that. First one, social login. Christine, if you'd like to just speak a little bit about what social login can do to help solve that issue.
Social login allows merchants to let customers log in with their social networks account on their shop, like Twitter or Facebook, things like that. And it just makes it faster to log in so you don't have to create an account. But with our plugin, the cool thing is customers still have the option to create a separate account and have the social logins connected to their WooCommerce account. And they have control over their social logins so they could actually go into their My Account page and see a list of all the social logins that they have connected to their WooCommerce account. So it gives customers that control over what they want to use to log in also. And if they want to disconnect any of them, they could do that as well.
And another thing that when it comes to inputting details, I had mentioned this earlier, but the ability to, as we've discussed too, have different payment gateways that someone can do that are more one-click options. I mean, one of the nice things about, you know, say PayPal is I know my address is in there. So if I click, it handles the payment. It fills in my address automatically. That saves a lot of mobile typing and just helps get over that the gap of having to fill in the entire form. Let's move on to some advanced techniques we could do. And the first one I want to talk about is cross-platform shopping behavior. So as we discussed, a lot of people are using both their phones and their desktop during the process of making a single purchase. People will discover a product on mobile and then ultimately buy it on desktop, or vice versa. And one of the ways you can attack that is through your cart abandonment emails. For instance, if someone abandons a cart on mobile, you'd love for them to get their cart abandonment email that still works when they click through on desktop. Some abandoned cart emails and some email service providers will allow you to do that. Ryan, can you speak a little bit about abandoned cart regeneration in email marketing and how stores can really take advantage of that?
Yeah, so if I recall correctly, WooCommerce stores the cart session for 2 weeks. I could be wrong about that, so don't quote me on it, but it's something like 2 weeks. So outside of that two-week window, the customer comes back to the site on that same device. It's not going to regenerate. So their choices and everything are lost. So if you employ an email marketing solution, there are a number of different ones available, Klaviyo, a couple other options. What they can do is they can store your customer's cart choices externally on their own servers or in separate servers. And that way, those details are not lost. And then they also have the advantage of being able to regenerate it from anywhere. So they've browsed on their computer and they get the email on their phone and they can load up that same cart on their phone and complete the checkout with all those same items.
Yeah, I believe that MailChimp and Meteoric both have abandoned cart regeneration as well in terms of email service providers. We need to regenerate as they go back and forth from platform to platform. Another way that we can address cross-platform shopping behavior is through retargeting ads. Because ad technology is what it is, you can, if someone puts something in their carts and abandon it, you can kind of have your ads follow them from platform to platform. Ethical implications of that aside, have you had any experience in that? I know I've definitely had that happen. And what do you think of those kind of ads, Christine?
I'm torn between them because, I mean, that has happened and I do notice. So there's a part of me that's really into privacy. And I always disable those personalized ads. But at the same time, I've seen some cool stuff because of them. And it has been helpful. So I don't know how I feel about that right now because I'm torn between my personal values and when it actually works. And I'm happy that it works.
That's my feeling toward all pop-ups. I don't like pop-ups, but man, they are so effective in getting like email subscribers and whatnot. That's where I come into that conflict. Ryan, what do you think about retargeting ads, retargeting people using Facebook ads or Google ads after they abandon a cart to find them on the other platforms they use?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm okay with it. My wife was talking yesterday. She was shopping for something, and she said, and she browsed around, and she said, okay, that's enough. Like I've put the browsing out into the ether, the Google network. I let it do its thing, and it will return to me and tell me what to buy. So that's how she feels about it, and I tend to agree.
Wow, that is a next level appreciation of algorithmic advertising right there. Like.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah. I guess it's true. Like if you search for something for 5 minutes, you're going to get ads. So I guess if you could put them to work for you, that is, maybe that's like a productivity tactic. Like instead of doing your own research, just let the advertisers do it for you.
Yeah.
And then the last advanced technique that we're going to talk about today is developing your own app. So 2/3 of customers say they've downloaded some retailer's app. 4 out of 5 smartphone shoppers use apps multiple times a week or even more frequently than that. And studies have found that mobile apps for e-commerce stores do have higher conversion rates than the corresponding mobile websites. I know that I find myself inclined to purchase off an app over a retailer's website if I have both of the options. Of course, developing an app is an undertaking. It's an expense. It's a whole new thing to maintain. It's a very different world than just having a responsive site that works on mobile and desktop. But I thought we could at least put it out there for people who would be considering an app. Ryan, what do you think about sites developing their own app? Is it worth what's going to go into it?
The app experience is the ideal mobile experience probably for return repeat customers and all that stuff. But as you said, Sam, this is something that's reserved for large to extremely large size businesses, in my opinion, just because of the cost of developing an app that's worthwhile. I do believe there are some tools that can sort of turn a website into an app, but I haven't experienced all of them, but I would caution a small and medium-sized businesses to perhaps make sure you know what you're getting with those before diving headfirst, because the end result may not be that ideal. It may be similar, just basically your website just kind of bundled into a separate app or something like that. So yeah, I'd caution small businesses to invest in that sort of thing at this time. Maybe someday the technology will be there to quickly spin up an app, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't like when I download an app and it's really just a wrapped version of the mobile website. That feels like a cumbersome app experience. Like, why did I bother to download an app versus like a helpful app? Christine, what do you think? Is it worth consideration for businesses to develop an app, knowing what goes into it based on the benefits of having one?
You know, I don't like that either, what you mentioned, when it's just like a bundled website. Or especially when there's a link and you click on it and it takes you to the website.
Oh, the worst. That's the worst. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, why did I download the app?
Right.
But I agree with Ryan in cautioning merchants in converting their websites into an app with those app builders, especially if they have a lot of plugins. Some of those plugins might not work in the app. Personally, I don't like using apps to buy stuff, but I think it would be really beneficial in situations like with memberships. I've had a few conversations with customers who has membership websites and would like to convert their website into an app. And I think in that situation, it would make a lot of sense for customers to have an app where they could access all of their membership stuff.
Yeah, so sort of on like some sites, even beyond just like offering a better shopping experience, if what they're providing is a digital product that belongs in an app, then that's another consideration for having an app around it. All right. Well, we hope those strategies prove helpful to you. And again, we'll have links to everything we've discussed here in the show notes. We'll be back right after this with our question and answer segment.
It's time to get your clients selling online in less time and for less money with GoDaddy Hosting. Learn more at GoDaddy.com.
We are back. This is Sam. I'm joined by Ryan and Christine with our question and answer segment. I like my WordPress theme, but it's not made to handle WooCommerce. What should I do? What do you do if you've got a great theme, but it doesn't have all the WooCommerce stuff built in?
If e-commerce is an important part of your business and something that you are looking to invest in, then having a theme that was designed with e-commerce in mind is going to be to your benefit. So you may want to just try and reduce your attachment to your theme or consider those elements that are very important to you and try and implement them in your new WooCommerce theme. I'll mention Storefront, which is a sort of a standard WooCommerce theme that is available and handles WooCommerce really well. And the benefit that you're getting with a WooCommerce-based theme is they're thinking about these plugins and they're less likely to have conflicts, essentially. That said, I don't think that it's too difficult to convert a non-WooCommerce theme into one that supports WooCommerce. So if you're really, really set on it, you know, you could probably hire a developer to get that done for you. And, you know, so that option is a possibility, but knowing that you may run into some issues down the road because your theme wasn't built with e-commerce in mind.
And our next question, is it worth investing in SEO, or should I put that budget toward running ads instead?
I think SEO is more of a long-term thing that would like slowly raise their rankings, and ads would be more of a short-term thing if they have like a targeted campaign that they want to do. Then I think then ads would be appropriate. So I'm going to say both if I can. Ads for targeted campaigns, but also SEO for content if they want to go that direction.
I'm a content guy, like a content fan, and sometimes believe maybe even too much to a fault that good content will eventually rise to the top in search engines as they, you know, are more or less devoted to trying to make that be the case. It's not always the case, but I do think that it's worth keeping an eye on content and investing in your own content. But I don't know that that's a dollar investment. To me, that feels like it can be a time investment more so than a financial one. Take the time, shore up your product descriptions, write some good guides, offer good content on your site. There are also a lot of other ways that stores can be discovered through search engines. You know, there's the whole Google shopping world that you can get in on and a number of other things. So I think I would probably take that budget and put it toward running ads and hoping that I would get a good return on my ad spend there. But I wouldn't neglect SEO. I just I think that would be something where it would take elbow grease as opposed to just throwing some money at it from me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on the, especially the product description. You could run a bunch of ads, but if they go to your site and they can't trust it, you know, those ads might not work.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think if you're at a place where you're ready to start running money toward ads, your site copy should be pretty solid at that point. So if it's not, then that's probably what you should be addressing first. And before you're doing either of these things, you should make sure that your site's like at least at the basic place where it's ready to be discovered by search engines or have people buy if they come from ads. All right, everyone, that's it for our episode on mobile shopping. We hope you learned quite a bit, got some great strategies you can use for your store or your client stores. I would like to once again thank our fantastic panelists today, Christine and Ryan. Thank you so much. If you would like to submit questions for our future question and answer sessions, or check out all of the links to the plugins we've discussed today, you can check out our show notes for more information. And many of the plugins we've discussed today are available and included in GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting. So if you're looking for hosting, this comes with nearly $6,000 worth of premium extensions, including many of the popular ones we've discussed today and a whole host of other things. It costs less than $20 a month. So it's quite a good deal if you're looking for new hosting for your e-commerce stores or your client stores. All right, any last words, Ryan or Christine, to the fine people listening to our mobile shopping episode?
Remember to keep your plugins and themes up to date.
You know, Ryan, I think you're developing a catchphrase and I like it.
I like it too.
All right, everyone. We hope you continue to listen and we will talk to you next time.